you. A couple of people just to help reinforce everything that's been said. We'll then have time to pray, and then we'll finish at the usual time of 1:40. So can I ask you, first of all, then, to turn to, in the Church Bibles, to Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9 on page 66. St. Botolph's is a Church of England church, and in common with many Church of England churches in the city, it is a guild church, which means we don't have a parish, we don't have to have our own Sunday services, and in fact we don't have our own Sunday services. Another church uses the building on a Sunday. And as such, the focus of our ministry is simply on those who work in the city, so the thousands or tens of thousands who work just within a 10-minute walk of this building. And over the last few weeks, we've been looking in our Tuesday lunchtime talks at the book of Exodus, and I've been very struck by this one verse, Exodus chapter 9, verse 16. Let me read it to us. Exodus chapter 9, verse 16. As God says to Pharaoh, "But I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth." In other words, God's purpose for the Exodus was not simply to rescue his people from slavery in Egypt and bring them to the promised land, but a far greater purpose, that his name and might and power might be proclaimed to the whole earth. It's the means by which God will fulfill his promise to Abraham, made in Genesis chapter 12, that through him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. It's something we see more fully in the Great Commission, at the end of Matthew's Gospel, as Jesus gathers his disciples together and commissions them to make disciples of all nations. And then fully and finally in the book of Revelation, in chapter 5, where we have a wonderful vision of people from all nations and all tribes and all languages gathered around the heavenly throne, worshipping the Lord Jesus Christ. So our overall aim at the Aldersgate Talks is to make disciples of Jesus, to proclaim his name, and to do so for his glory. Now, that aim has a twin focus, if you like. So, first of all, the first focus is to proclaim the gospel, to proclaim the message of Jesus to the thousands who just work within a few minutes' walk of this building. They are here in London, yes, from the UK, but actually from the nations. The nations are all around us. It's lovely to have many from the nations always represented here on a Tuesday as well. It's one of the great things about working in London. And as we proclaim the message of Jesus week by week, then we trust that by his Spirit, he will be powerfully at work, and men and women will become disciples of the Lord Jesus for themselves. But secondly, we also want to equip those who are disciples of Jesus already to be his disciples in the workplace, perhaps the hardest place of all, possibly with the exception of being at school, but certainly one of the two hardest places of all, to be a public Christian. And in the long hours and the busy, demanding jobs that many have, the great temptation, I think, simply to keep our heads down and to get on with the job and forget about being a public follower of Jesus Christ in the workplace is enormous. In particular, we're keen to serve Christians by strengthening them in their evangelism. So think for a moment, will you, about a hypothetical city worker who lives in North London. And they're involved in a local church here, but they work just within 5 minutes of this building. Now, how are their colleagues going to hear the message of Jesus? How are they going to hear the gospel? Well, yes, in part through conversation and discussion. But I guess it's very unlikely, isn't it, that they're going to have many colleagues, perhaps none, who actually are closest enough to their home church in North London to go there on a Sunday. Their colleagues could live out in Essex or, you know, Hampshire or Hertfordshire or down in Brighton or perhaps just south of the river in South London. Which is why there is a whole network of talks like the Aldersgate Talks scattered throughout London. On your way out, if you're not aware of the network, do please pick up one of these blue cards with on the back of it. You'll see there's a list of all the different talks like this which happen through the week. So from Canary Wharf in the east, a number in the city, Midtown, sort of Fleet Street, Covent Garden, and then Westminster in the West as well. A whole network of lunchtime talks where city workers can bring colleagues to hear the message of Jesus. And wonderfully, every week here on a Tuesday, there are those who are doing just that, who are looking into the Christian faith for themselves. Which means that all our talks each week are geared to do those two things, both to train and equip those who are followers of Jesus to be public Christians in the workplace, but also to present the message of Jesus to those who have yet to trust in him, who are investigating. We deliberately keep the lunchtime service to half an hour so people know that they can arrive at 1:10, they can leave at 1:40 and get back to their desks, and that it can all be done promptly. We run regular Christianity Explore courses for those who want to investigate the Christian faith. We've got one running at the moment. We also run partnership Bible study groups for those who are Christians already, not in competition with local churches. But the fact is that for many, and I guess many of us are aware of this, for many perhaps the long hours mean they don't have time to be involved in a Bible study group back where they live at home. Some local churches perhaps don't have a midweek Bible study. So we have 5 partnership groups here running through the week, either meeting early in the morning, before work, or at lunchtime. If you're not in one of those and you're interested to be in one of those, then do either speak to Mark in the red, you can't miss him, or Claire Jackson sitting at the back there if you'd like to join one of those groups. So that is the aim of the Aldersgate Talks, to make disciples of Jesus, to encourage those who do belong to Jesus to be public Christians in the workplace, and especially to encourage you in your evangelism, seeking to proclaim Jesus to those who don't yet know him. We're not a substitute for a local church where you live, or a rival to a local church where you live. So if you've been coming a while, for example, you may have noticed that we don't run things like parenting courses or marriage preparation courses. You may have noticed that our sort of diet in terms of what we're teaching from the Bible week by week and our talk series may not be as balanced as you might expect from a local home church, because we are primarily a mission congregation, if you like, seeking to equip Christians to be godly Christian workers and to hold out the message of Jesus to others. It means, too, that when people do put their trust in Jesus, and it's lovely to see one or two here who have done that recently, then we encourage them to get stuck into a local church. The Aldersgate Talks are not a substitute or rival for that. Which means as well, please don't hold back from partnering with the Aldersgate Talks simply because you come from a different church background to some of the people here. I always think there's something quite wonderful about people coming together on a midweek, Tuesday lunchtime, from all sorts of church backgrounds, not forgetting our differences. Yes, we'll have differences, but actually willingly to graciously put them aside for the sake of our shared commitment to Jesus Christ and to making the gospel known to our colleagues in the workplace. And that's a wonderfully exciting thing to be able to do together. Now, there's going to be time for questions in a while, but I thought, first of all, I'd interview Richard. So, Richard Dreyer, why don't you come up and join me? Richard is known to some of us. I can't resist saying this, but actually I discovered just now that Richard used to be a housemate of Claire's when they were at university. When was that? 3 years ago? No.
No, longer.
A bit longer than that. Yeah. So if you want to know, well, either about Claire or Richard, then perhaps you can speak to the other one later on. But Richard, you used to be involved, didn't you, in the Aldersgate Talks until sort of 4 or 5 years ago, that kind of thing. Just tell us what work were you involved with here in the city, and what were some of the pressures associated with that?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. So I used to be a portfolio manager, and I started my career at Schroeder's just around the corner. And shortly afterwards, the Aldersgate Talks were set up. And then after that, I moved around a bit and ended up heading up a team at Aberdeen Asset Management, just above the Costa Coffee on Bow Church Lot. I guess the pressures, I think the big pressure, Proverbs tells us to fear God is the beginning of wisdom and not man. And I think the big pressure was always to fear man rather than God. And that manifested itself in different ways. So when I started out as a graduate, you know, I wanted to make a good impression. I wanted to get on. And I think in that context, it's very easy to fear man and just always be concerned about what other people think of us rather than living distinctively. And then I think when I was managing a team, the pressure was probably more on integrity, actually. If you're managing a team, there are difficult conversations to be had. There are confidential conversations to be had. And it's just quite easy sometimes to drift into slightly spinning a message, maybe being slightly inconsistent, maybe saying more than needs to be said. And just, again, just fearing God and making sure I held to my integrity, I think, was a challenge in that context.
So you were involved in these talks right from the beginning,
yeah,
when they started. Mm. And what did you then value about the Aldersgate talks, just personally for you as a Christian in the workplace, day in, day out?
Yeah. I think, personally for me, one of the great values of the Aldersgate talks is that it just got my different lives to collide. So my working life and my spiritual life. So I think it's very easy in London to live quite a segregated life and to have my home life and my church. And then there's a totally different set of people, a totally different environment for my working life. And just simply coming out of the office, coming here and be reminded that my primary identity is as a child of God, and then taking that back into the office is incredibly valuable. And I think I quite often found that my feet sort of carried me here and my mind was still in the office. And sometimes I'd be slightly reluctant, but actually I never walked back to the office regretting having been here, because I'd be reminded of who I really was. And that was a wonderful encouragement to take back.
And then in your evangelism, seeking to proclaim Christ to colleagues, how did the Aldersgate talks help you with that?
Yeah. I mean, I guess, just practically speaking, a lot of my non-Christian friends and contacts were based at work, both in terms of the number of people I knew, and also actually the depth. I mean, your colleagues get to see you under pressure, don't they, and see how you respond to that. You actually get to know people pretty quickly, I think, within a working environment. And so actually a large number of the people I knew who didn't know the Lord Jesus were based at work. And so for me, that was going to be the prime area where I'd be able to spread the gospel. And so I think, practically speaking, the value is twofold. One was, just as I've said, being reminded of my identity as I went back into the office encouraged me to actually keep living for Christ, keep speaking for Christ and pointing people to him. And then, practically speaking, it was wonderful to be able to invite people along. People weren't going to come to my home church to a service there or to Christianity Explore because it was too far to travel. But it was very easy to be able to invite people here. Because I was working 3 minutes or 5 minutes away, and people knew the building. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Good. Now, you're the Assistant Minister of Emmanuel Church in Wimbledon.
Yeah.
So just tell us what that involves.
Well, I'll tell you what it involves. This week, what it involves is we had a Christianity Explored course last night. So that's wonderful. We had full tables of people, so sitting down and talking to people about the claims of Christ. I'm preaching on Sunday on Romans chapter 4, so preparing that, meeting up with people one-to-one. I help run the small groups, so the house groups and the men's Bible study groups. So I was with a men's Bible study group at 6:30 this morning before they come in. I was 5 minutes late because of the snow. They weren't very happy about it. And then just various bits of administration as well involved in running a church.
And I know you're keen to encourage individuals at Emmanuel who work in the city to be involved in lunchtime talks like this.
Yeah.
So we were chatting about that earlier. So why is that? What advantage do you see in that?
I guess the advantage I see for people is what I got out of it myself, which is this opportunity to be reminded of our identity and built up within the context of our working week, and also to be encouraging people to evangelism within that context as well.
And can I ask, is that a helpful thing for Emmanuel Wimbledon as a whole? So I rather imagine that if you're encouraging people to be involved in lunchtime work like this, perhaps they then have less time to be involved in ministry at home. Maybe they don't. But I'm just wondering, what is the impact on Emmanuel as a whole?
Yeah.
Is it good for Emmanuel as a local church to have people involved in a city midweek talk like this?
So a lot of churches have a strapline, don't they? Our strapline at Emmanuel is glorifying God by being disciples and making disciples. And there's this extraordinary resonance with what you've just said about the work here. You're looking to encourage people to be disciples and make disciples. So if that is our aim at Emmanuel, then encouraging people to be involved in the work here, we're encouraging them in exactly the same aim that you're pursuing here. So in that sense, absolutely, to have people involved here is encouraged. We're meeting our aim by doing that. And I think Yeah, clearly there are only so many hours in the day, but we don't measure the success of a church by hours, do we? Or the number of hours people spend there. We measure it by the depth of love that people have for the Lord Jesus. So from my point of view, if I'm encouraging people to evangelism, it's wonderful to be able to encourage them not just to use a manual, but to use talks here. So if we've got people who are working locally, I can encourage them to use this as another opportunity for evangelism. I can encourage them to partnership groups if they can't make our small groups here. And actually what we're looking to do is to see people built up in maturity in Christ, because it's as people grow in maturity in Christ that actually the whole church will benefit, both here and there. So we had an evening on Saturday evening. We have quite a big special needs group at Emmanuel, and we had an evening to thank the people who are involved in that. Had 20 people around for supper. And I looked around the room. Every single one of them was extremely busy and had very high-pressure jobs. And every single one of them could have said when they were asked onto that rotor, I'm just too busy, thank you very much. And the reason they're doing it is not because they have a lot of time. They're doing it because God's done a deep work in them. And that's ultimately what we're aiming for.
Yeah, wonderful. Good. Richard, thank you very much for coming in and for being interviewed.
And I'm now going to interview Philip Brentford. So, Philip, come and join me up here. Some may feel they know Philip already. So, Philip is joining the staff team here in the summer, either end of June or beginning of July. He is Richard Bray's replacement. He's going to be joining us as the assistant minister. Philip, we're very much looking forward to having you join us. So I thought this would be a great opportunity for those who are regular just to get to know you a little bit and to know what we're getting when you arrive in the summer. So come stand before the microphone and tell us briefly how you became a Christian, first of all.
So I guess like some of you maybe, I grew up in a village. In my case, the church was literally down the road, so we could hear the bells. We knew when it was time to go to the church as the bells were ringing. And so I heard some of the stories about Jesus growing up, but I don't think I really made a connection between those stories and me and what I should be doing with that information, what I should be doing with the person in particular of the Lord Jesus, until I got to university. And so really, it's at that point that it all really slotted into place for me, that I really came to see that Jesus was making extraordinary claims that he was king and ruler of the universe, and that I had to do something about that. So that was really at university when that all started to slot into place for me.
Wonderful, great. And then you left university, you worked in the city for a bit. Tell us about that, because I think you were just next door, weren't you, to start with?
I was. I think it's that way. So I worked in that big ziggurat building, the old Clifford Chance building. Some people used to call it the Death Star building because of the big glass atrium on the front. I was there as a lawyer, and then I moved down towards Fleet Street to work for the Office of Fair Trading, also as a lawyer for a while. And it was really then that I was involved with lunchtime talks like these. In fact, I came here, I think, when it was first set up, and then I was involved for many years down the road at the Fleet Street Talks as well.
And you spent some time working for the Fleet Street Talks as well, didn't you, which is very, very similar to these talks, but in Fleet Street. So just tell us some of the things you were doing there at the Fleet Street Talks.
So I was involved there for many years when I was working there, but then also I was there on the staff for about 5 years, and similar things to really what you're doing. Telling people about Jesus, encouraging Christians to live for Jesus and to speak for Jesus. The kinds of things that Richard was talking about, we're trying to encourage people to do those same things, to keep standing firm in the gospel of the Lord Jesus.
And at the moment you're at Oak Hill Theological College in North London, so you're going to be ordained in the summer. Just tell us what we can be praying for you between now and the beginning of July when you join us.
So pray for me to make the most of the time that's left, being a student. It was initially a shock to the system, being a student again after many years, but you soon get used to it. But it's just a wonderful opportunity to step back and really invest in studying God's word, getting to know him better. So pray that the end of my time there would be useful in terms of really growing myself as a Christian. We never stop doing that, do we? And then being further equipped for coming here.
Thank you. And thanks for coming in today.
So if you don't know Philip, do take the opportunity just to say hello to him later on. Now look, I'm going to wrap up and then we'll have time to pray, but I want to finish by encouraging those of us who do consider ourselves to be involved here at the Aldersgate Talks to continue to be involved, but also to encourage those of us who perhaps feel slightly on the edge how you might be more involved. So three suggestions. First of all, by coming to the talks regularly and by inviting others. As you come yourself week by week, I hope you'll grow in your enthusiasm for sharing the gospel with others. Perhaps that colleagues will begin to ask what goes on here and that you'll be able to share the message of Jesus yourself and invite them along to talks here. Every Tuesday, as we've said, is designed both to encourage Christians and also to draw in those who are not yet persuaded or who are wanting to investigate. Secondly, by praying with others for the talks. Now, you'll see there are details on the program card. Do take one by the door as you leave if you haven't yet got one, of our monthly prayer meetings and our weekly Tuesday morning prayer meeting. I'm conscious that others you meet to pray in your workplace Christian groups, others meet to pray in prayer triplets and so on, but however you do it, please will you commit to meeting with others from the talks regularly to pray for the talks and for one another. So by coming, by praying, and then thirdly, by giving to the talks. We're not underwritten by any other group or organisation. We are reliant upon the giving of those who are regular to keep going, and there are more details. There's a financial update from David, our treasurer, on the back of the programme card, so more details there with his contact details as well if you want to get in touch with him. Can I say for local church ministers and local church leaders, thank you very much indeed once again for coming. Can I suggest two sort of outboxes perhaps in terms of ways in which you might encourage any in your congregations who are working, I guess anywhere really within the circle line in the centre of London. First of all, take away one of these blue cards, Gospel at Work, www.gospelatwork.org.uk. It's a wonderful website. You can type in the postcode of where you work and it comes up and tells you where the nearest lunchtime Bible talk is. And as I said, there's a whole network of them across London. I think something like 15 if you look at them all, so stretching from Hammersmith to Canary Wharf. So that might be one practical outbox from today, as Richard is doing, to encourage people within your congregation who are working within the central line, within the circle line circle, to come along and be involved in lunchtime talks like this. And why not, secondly, once a month, if you have people who are working in the centre of London, why not once a month come up to where people work, perhaps here or Canary Wharf or Westminster, if you have someone involved in the talks, why not once a month say, okay, I'm going to go and go to the lunchtime talk, meet with whoever it is from my congregation who is involved in that lunchtime talk, or perhaps if they're not involved in the lunchtime talk, but actually they work near there, then why not say, let's meet up at the Aldersgate talks or the St. Helens talks or the All Souls talks, whatever it is, and to encourage them to get involved with seeking to promote the gospel in the workplace. Now, we've got 2 or 3 minutes left, so can I suggest we pray, and it'd be great if we could use that time praying for the talks here, and then I'll draw us to a close in a couple of minutes or so. Thank you.